proverb tonight. And this morning's thought was a little deeper than I usually get. And tonight's will be very, very, very practical. And I hope that we can observe some things in the text and get some help from it. And hopefully it'll make us a little bit more like Jesus and help us to love Him more. As Brother Joe Arthur would say, I love it when he says that. He says that we might see Him more clearly, love Him more dearly, and follow Him more nearly. Amen? If that's the end result tonight, I'll be tickled pink. Amen? But I thank the Lord for the Word of God. And I love this passage of Scripture. Give you a background of the Proverbs. A lot of us understand that this is the book of wisdom, and that these Proverbs were given by the King Solomon. And if you read in your Bibles about King Solomon, there was a peculiarity that God placed on his life. God came to Solomon in a dream and told him that He would give him anything that he desired. He said, "What is it that you desire?" And Solomon asked for wisdom. He said that I might have wisdom to lead so great a people. And God told Solomon, He said, because you didn't ask for power, because you didn't ask for riches and for wealth and for the increase of your armies, He said, because you've asked this thing, He said, I'm going to give it to you. And not only did He tell Solomon that He would give it to him, but He said, there will not walk another man upon the earth who is as wise as thee. Now we know, with the exception barring our Lord Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh, that God raised up this man Solomon to lead His people. And there was not a man before and there was not a man after that was as wise as Solomon. And in the heat of that wisdom, he pens these words. He pens this book of Proverbs, and oftentimes it's called or referred to as the book of wisdom, and fittingly so. The Bible says this in the third proverb: "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." If the Lord will help me tonight, I won't preach too awful long tonight. I know we got the meeting and it's getting kind of nasty outside, but I want to preach on this thought: trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love You, and Lord, we need You tonight. Lord, every aspect of this service, down to the business meeting that will follow and getting everybody home safe tonight, Lord, we just pray that You'll be with us. And Father, I pray that as we look in the text tonight, that You might the Word of God might have free course in our hearts, and that the Holy Ghost might be unrestrained in His convicting power, Lord, as we seek to be drawn closer to You tonight, Father. And Lord, I pray that anything that stands betwixt You and I, Father, I pray, Lord, that You would just abolish it, Father, Lord, and take away anything that might hinder me from being filled with Your Spirit in this hour, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You would please help me to preach with power, with love, and with a sound mind, and we'll give You all the praise and honor and glory for it, for You're the only one who is worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the particular passage that we'll be looking at tonight, we'll look at the first four verses by way of introduction, but I'd like to draw our message and our main points tonight from what we find in verses 5 and 6. This is perhaps one of the most widely recognized passages in all of the Old Testament, maybe even perhaps the entire Bible. This was the first passage of Scripture that I memorized when I was 19 years old and I got back in church and got right with the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is the first passage of Scripture that the Lord put on my heart to memorize. And I'm telling you what, there hasn't been a day that's gone by that I haven't needed exactly what I've hidden away in my heart in that passage of Scripture right there. Listen to me. Oftentimes, people want to discount the simple things of God and the simple commandments in the Word of God. But if you're anything like me, you realize that those are oftentimes the hardest ones to obey. My mama used to use a phrase when I was a little boy. She said, "That's easier said than done, isn't it?" She'd say that. And oftentimes when it comes to the precepts and the statutes and the holy word of God, the most simple commandments are the hardest to observe. As a matter of fact, when I think of that, just a few that come to mind: forgive also as Christ forgave. That's awful hard to do sometimes, isn't it? Because what the natural man wants to do in our flesh is it wants to hold grudges. It wants to get upset. It wants to get our pound of flesh, and it wants to justify itself and say, well, they did that to me, or they did it first, and so it's my right to feel that way. But that's not what the Word of God says. The Bible tells us as Christians it is our duty to forgive one another. Peter said, if I got aught against my brother, how many times am I going to forgive him? Seven times? And Peter, I imagine he's feeling spiritual, thinking seven times. And Jesus said, nah, how about 70 times seven times? Now, Jesus wasn't saying, you forgive them 490 times, and when they've hit that limit, you quit. Hey, if that was the case, you and I would have ran out of forgiveness a long time ago. I'm just being honest, okay? He wasn't saying, well, when you get up to 485, you warn them, hey, you only got a couple strikes left, okay? Now, he was just telling us to forgive as Christ forgave. The same way that Christ forgave us. Unholy, wicked, ungodly, unthankful sinners, Christ forgave us and gave himself for us. That's the way that we ought to forgive. We ought to be willing to go to any cost to forgive those people. Man asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? He says, love the Lord God with all thy heart. It sounds simple enough, doesn't it? But how many times do we put things in front of God in our lives? How many times do we love people more than we love God, if we're being honest? How many times do we love things, and do we love events, and do we love the things of this world, and we let that captivate us and capture us and take us away from the things that are the most important, keeping the main thing the main thing? It's one of those things that's a lot easier said than done. King Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. By way of introduction, let's look at a few things that he says leading up to this. In verse number 1, he says, my son, forget not my law. These words are not to be forgotten, but they're to be hearkened to, and they're to be observed, and they're not to be neglected. The Hebrew writer said in the second chapter, therefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. It is a constant discipline in the Christian life to observe the things of God, because if we let them slip once, we're going to let them slip again. The things that we do in moderation, the next generation of Christians will do in excess. We skip church in moderation, they're going to skip church in excess. We fail to observe the holy things of God and take part in the things of the local church, then they're going to skip out on the things of God and the things of the local church. He says, listen, don't let anything slip. Don't slack off. He says, stay diligent in observing these things. He said, don't forget these things. He urges him. He says, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter number 14 and verse number 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. That's another one of them, isn't it? An awful simple phrase that was given to us from God by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Jesus spoke it to his disciples. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The 119th Psalm, just as Brother Jeremy taught the other night as he preached on last Sunday night, the psalmist said, with my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He says, but let thine heart keep my commandments. I believe it's the second proverb. If you go and look in the second proverb in the second verse, I believe it is. He said, that thou mightest incline thine ear unto wisdom and thy heart unto understanding. It's not enough that we just show up to church and listen to preaching. Listen to me. It's not enough that I just get up in the pulpit and say these things and preach these things. I've got to live them. You've got to live them. We've got to live these things, because if we don't, we're not going to make a difference out there in the world. They're not going to see anything worth living for. They're not going to see anything worth taking note of if we don't observe these things, if we don't hide them in our heart, if we don't obey these things. He goes on to say, for length of days and long life and peace they shall add to thee. See, that's what the world is after. We see all the medicine, we see all the vitamins, we see all the infomercials, we see all the get-rich-quick schemes and all these things that people are just seeking for the quickest way to find what? Long life, peace, happiness, length of days. They're just looking for ways to get that. God said, listen, if you obey me and you love me and you serve me, he said, I'll give you all these things. He is the giver and the sustainer of life. These are the things everybody's looking for. In verse number 8, it even goes so far as to talk about our physical health. It says, and it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. He says, listen, I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to keep you healthy. I'm going to keep you serving God. That's what we're after here today, isn't it? To please the Lord. Verse number 3, he says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, but bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thy heart. He's speaking reference to the Jewish people, how they would take the law and they would bind it up on that paper and they would put it as a bracelet on their wrist or on their forehead and they would wear it around so that they would not forget it, so that they would observe it, so that they wouldn't let these things slip. He's saying, listen, you've got to hide these things away and remember these things so that you don't forsake them. Verse number 4, so that thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. That's one way of saying it. It'll keep you out of trouble. Amen. He said, listen to me, do what I say, it'll keep you out of trouble. Hey, the times in my life that I got in the most trouble were the times that I was the furthest away to God and I was doing the things that were the most displeasing to Him. God wants for us to be happy. God wants for us to live long. He wants for us to be healthy. I'm not preaching the health and wealth gospel here tonight, but I'm saying this, God's going to take care of us, but He wants us to be obedient to Him. Verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. And lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So Lord, help me for the next few moments. I just want to look at four things very quickly, and we'll be done, that you and I can observe. First and foremost, it's our dependence. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. I love the specificity of the Word of God. And if I've said it up here once, I've said it a million times, and I'm going to say it another time because I like the way it sounds. I believe every word in that book is there on purpose. Not one jot nor one tittle is out of place. And when God says, trust the Lord with all of thine heart, it's not merely, and listen to me, it's not merely a suggestion tonight. This is a command from the Word of God that we trust Him wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly. Not lukewarm. It's not some kind of hey, how you doing basis. This is a personal relationship. We're to give our entire hearts to God. You know what happens when we don't give our whole hearts to God? You know what happens when we trust the Lord with just a part of our heart? We begin to fret. We begin to fear. We begin to worry. I was listening to a preacher the other night while I was driving down the interstate, and he said, fear not is mentioned 365 times in the Bible. Charles Spurgeon said it's like a flower that blooms throughout the beauty that is the Scripture. And he said, it's mentioned 365 times. He said, I found that fitting because every day of the year I'm going to need that. Amen. He said he began to read another commentary, and a man said, no, it's mentioned 366 times in the Bible. He said, well, that doesn't bother me either, because there's going to be at least one day out of the year that I need to hear it twice. Amen. That fear not's mentioned in the Bible. Isaiah said, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. I believe that if the church of the living God, if Christians, if God's people would get a grip on what kind of power and what kind of strength our God, the Creator God of heaven, possesses, it would change our entire outlook. Listen to me. He's never going to run out of strength. He's never going to run out of the power to sustain us. He's never going to run out of the abilities to supply our needs. We have to be dependent on Him wholeheartedly. Amen. Wholeheartedly. Everlasting strength. That means it ain't ever going to end. God's always going to be enough. We sang the song just before we had our message tonight, leaning on the everlasting arms. Are you leaning on His arms tonight? Or do you just know where they're at in case you need them? There's a brother named Joe Fisher from my home church at Taze Valley. He sings a song. I love to hear him sing it. He says, I can't even walk without Him holding my hand. That's the truth. The nearer you get to God, the closer you walk with Jesus, the more you realize you need Him. He needs me, or I need Him a lot more than He needs me. Amen. We have to have a dependence upon God. It says, trust ye in the Lord with all of your heart. With all thine heart. And then it says this, and lean not unto thine own understanding. We've seen our dependence, but we also see our distinction that God gives us. He's very specific in making this point clear to us, and that's a common thing throughout the Proverbs is we see a contrast between right and wrong. A lot of times in the Proverb, it's going to be black or it's going to be white, it's going to be wrong or it's going to be right, it's going to be good or it's going to be unholy or holy or wicked. That's the way it is in the book of Proverbs. And he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. You know what we do when we lean on our own understanding? We refuse to trust God. We refuse to believe God. Just like Brother Rob said in the devotion when he preached a minute ago, we are refusing to acknowledge God's sovereignty and His tender care of us and His love for us. And we're saying, God, I got this. I'm just going to worry myself to death. See, the difference, I heard a preacher talk about prayer one time. He said the difference between the praying man and the not praying man is he said the not praying man will fall to pieces when the praying man falls to peace. Amen. God will give us refuge. God will give us strength. But that ain't going to happen if we're leaning on our own understanding. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? What do you mean by leaning on your own understanding? Verse 7 tells us right there. It says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. We're to give our hearts entirely to God, and our hearts cannot be trusted when left to their own devices. You know a common phrase you hear a lot of times today? You hear, follow your heart. I've heard people, they've been in the midst of some rocky roads and some storms in their life, and somebody tells them, just follow your heart. You could not give somebody worse advice. I promise you that. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter number 17, the heart is deceitful above all things. Think about that. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, if somebody says, I need some help, I need some advice, you're not going to tell them, you know what you need to do? The most desperately wicked thing you can think of. You're not going to tell them that. You're not going to tell them, you know what you need to do? You need to do something deceitful. So why would we tell someone to follow their heart? Listen to me here tonight, and I know this as a matter of fact. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it exposed in my life. The times that I've trusted in my own understanding, the times that I've followed my heart, the times that I've gone with my gut and did what I thought, made some kind of emotional decision, I've wrecked the circumstance and I missed out on what God had for me. God wants to lead us. God wants to show us. God wants us to walk with Him. That's why the Bible says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's Word is to lead us. God's Holy Ghost is to lead us. We're not to lead ourselves. It doesn't make very much sense for sheep to lead themselves without a shepherd, does it? What do? We try and chew our way out of the fence. We try and run across a hillside and get out of sight and do what we want to do. So many oftentimes, but He gives us a distinction there. He says, lean not unto thine own understanding. When we follow our own desires, we're bound to end up in a desperately wicked and godless situation. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 3, I want you to listen to me, just so we're clear. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like we're a bunch of people who need to just listen to God and do what He says. Amen? That's what's important. This is why God is so careful to give us this distinction there. This is why He put this in the Word of God. Paul said to the Galatian church, he said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. How do you walk in the Spirit? You depend on God. You trust God, you believe God, you stay in your prayer closet, you read your Bible, you try and have that time of devotion each and every single day that you give to God, and you trust Him with your whole heart and nothing less. It's no mistake that so many other religions out there teach that the ultimate high is this self-realization of this self-gratification and this type of esoteric, existential, nirvana, all these things. And what it is, it's just hedonism masked in apostasy is what it is. It's you follow you and you're your own God and you're your own truth and all roads lead to the same place. It's the devil just deceiving people. The Bible said that in the last days there shall come evil men deceiving others and being deceived. That's why it's so very important that we support those missionaries. That's why it's so very important that we tell the people outside of these walls about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what did He tell His disciples in John chapter number 14 and verse number 6? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Me. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Jesus is the only way to heaven. He makes that clear distinction right there. He says, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. We see the distinction, we've seen the dependence, but we see the duty given to us in verse number 6. It says this, in all thy ways acknowledge him. I remember there have been several times in my life that I could, just in the 5 years I've been living for God, that I could put my finger on a time that God really, really dealt with me. And I can't really explain what God had done for me other than using this analogy. It's like he was shifting gears. It's like he was doing whatever was necessary to put me in the next gear to serve him. And I remember this scripture was pivotal during one of those moments in my life, and it was verse number 6 that God spoke to me about, where he says, and acknowledge in all thy ways, acknowledge him. In every way we have, every opportunity that we get to acknowledge and to glorify God and to serve him, we ought to take it. I want to read you what Paul said to the Colossians. He said, and above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Think about that. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, which to which he hath also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Listen to this. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That's more than just Sundays. That's more than Wednesday night prayer meeting. That's more than when you're at the church house. That's more than when we're around each other. That's out there when we're in the world. That's when we're alone, when nobody can see us. He says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. I tell you what God was doing in my life when he put that scripture on my heart. I was looking for direction. And the Bible says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If we wish to have the direction of God and the leading of God in our lives, we're going to have to acknowledge him. And I want you to think about this for just a moment. If that's true, then if we flip this backwards here, whenever we refuse to acknowledge him, what we're doing is we're forfeiting his direction. And I'd like to imagine it this way. God gives us avenues and God gives us outlets. He gives us a workplace. He gives us neighbors. He gives us different opportunities. We're talking to cashiers and talking to shopping cart people and talking to mechanics. Whoever it might be outside of these doors, outside in the world, and every chance that we fail to take the opportunity to acknowledge him, that's a little bit more direction that we're missing out on. That's a little bit more leading we're missing out on. You fail to acknowledge God at work, you forfeit God's direction at work. You say, God, I want you to lead me about this situation at work. Are you acknowledging him? Are you giving him the glory? Are you pointing people to Jesus? Are you telling people about God? That is our duty as Christians. And last but not least, we'll finish with this. Our dependence, our duty, but our direction. Verse number 6. And he shall direct thy paths. Let's read it again. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, in the 37th Psalm, said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I believe it's pretty safe to say for every born-again Christian in here tonight, that's what we want. We want to be upheld. We want to be led. We want that guidance. We want God to give our lives direction. How many times have you asked yourself this? God, what is it you want for me? Where is it you want me? What is it you want me to do? We've got to have the direction of God in our lives. It's essential. And we're not going to have the direction of God in our lives if we're not going to acknowledge him. Why would God give us the direction? Why would God give us the instruction to lead us in that path if we're not going to make any use of it? If we're not going to acknowledge him, if we're not going to give him the glory. Listen to me. That's the whole reason you and I are here. That's the whole reason God gave you breath in your lungs right now, and He lets you wake up this morning, is because He wants to use you to glorify Himself, to bring glory unto Himself. That's why you and I are here. That's why everything was made. That's why God gave us a free will, so we could love Him, we could serve Him, and we could obey Him, and we could submit ourselves to Him, and it would please Him on His throne in heaven. He wants to direct us. He wants to give us these things. He wants to bless us. He wants to lead us. But we've got to trust Him. We have to devote ourselves to Him. There has to be that dependency there. We've got to make that distinction. We've got to fulfill that duty, and we've got to hold fast to our direction. Listen to me. I'll be the first person to tell you, following God isn't always going to be glamorous. My pastor always told me, if it was easy, everybody would do it. You know why everybody do it? Because it's rewarding. Because you can go to bed, you can pillow your head at night with peace in your soul, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Nothing beats serving God. Nothing beats living for God. But you got to trust Him. You got to follow Him. You got to obey Him. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking but me. I wonder if there's any of us in here among us in here this evening and say, "Preacher, there are times that I'm not as obedient as I should be, and I need the Lord's help." Would you raise your hands? God bless you. All over the house, me too. I invite you this evening, won't you slip out of your seat and come to the altar? Won't you come up here and pray and ask God to work in your heart and ask God to work in your mind and ask God to show you these things? Ask God to help you to be more yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. That's why Paul said to the Ephesians, he said, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." The Spirit of God is to have full sway in our lives, to give us that direction, to give us that leading, and we're to yield ourselves to the Holy Ghost of God, to the Scriptures. If that's you in here this evening and you need that, I invite you to come.